Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, well,
how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for inviting us back on the show.
Okay, I'm glad to have you on, man. And could you tell us a little bit how this credit concerning child support will impact you in the future going forward?
Well, we'll get straight into it. A lot of people don't realize that when you're on child support, it actually dings your credit or actually lowers your credit score, because what your credit score is looking at is it's looking at how much debt you're holding in your life, and it actually increases your debt to equity ratio. And not to get too financial with the jargon and things of that nature, but basically your debt to equity ratio is like this. If you have $100,000 worth of debt and your income is in assets is $100,000, then your debt to equity ratio is 1. But if you have like $200,000 worth of debt and everything that you own in your life, including your cash, the equity in your home, the titles on your vehicles, if it doesn't add up to $200,000, then your debt to equity ratio is 2-1, meaning that you're carrying a lot of debt. And what child support does, when you get child support put on you, it raises your debt to equity ratio up to a very extreme point that a lot of creditors don't see you as a good or safe risk to loan to you. And they look at it as that if you're not paying your child support, then why should we give you this auto loan or finance this home for you?
Yeah, and which really that hurts people, because child support is not accurately calculated anyway. And that's
exactly
end up the non-custodial. The way they calculate it is just simply, it's just not fair. And children are being used as pawns, you know, in an economic battle between two parents and their lawyers, and you got the government stepping in with a dollar to make off of this economic battle.
And the thing is with that is that it causes financial hardship on non-custodial parents, because they're being mandated by the government to actually pay a certain amount of money every month, no matter for the next 18 years, no matter what their life situation is, because everybody go through hard times in life where you might be in between jobs. You might get laid off. Your health might be against you at one point in your life, but the child support agency, they don't care. And if you actually get behind on your child support, your actual credit score can be dropped by 40 to 100 points. Now, if you already had a mediocre credit score, that could put you in a situation where you can't finance anything, and credit is basically the keys to your adulthood. So if you can't get into an apartment, or you get denied a job because a lot of jobs are checking your credit history, because they're checking your credit history because they want to know if you're a good risk or not. And it's sad to say that our government would go to this extent as in extorting non-custodial parents, to the point where they will actually attack your credit history to make it harder in your life to actually survive.
Yes, and that's the bad thing about this is when they really attack you. I mean, they come after you when you owe them some money. That's what I meant by when they'll come in, and if you're trying to, and we know how employment is these days, and we know how good it is to start your own business. But check this out. If you owe them money, they will suspend your business license, and which doesn't make any sense. If this person got a business and they have a business number, a tax ID number, why doesn't the government sit back and say, okay, we'll see if he makes any money and we'll get it? No, they jump right in there and say, no, you can't do this. You owe us money. No business for you. Or they
exactly.
Come in there and suspend the license where you can't even get to work.
Because at the end of the day, it's indentured servitude. It is extortion, because you have tax attorneys and attorneys and, like you said, people with business license who are professionals whose license are getting suspended, which is definitely impacting their livelihood because of they owe that child support or they owe child support. And I don't know what other people call that, but that has nothing to do about taking care of loving your children. That's an attack on a non-custodial parent. That's a violation of rights.
That's exactly what it is. And no one inside this system wants to improve it. They all know, not even deep down, they all know that this system is set up to be an adversarial system, to expose people's feelings against each other and to make money at the child's expense. And what we got to do out there is we need to start writing and contacting our legislators and letting them know that people do not appreciate the children being used as pawns in an economic battle between parents and their lawyers, with the courts making profit off of this confusion and this adversary war.
But on the flip side, Marcus, the custodial parent credit scores actually rise, because when they apply for loans, whether it be auto loans or mortgages or credit cards, they have a line on there. What is your income or revenue streams? And if you actually put child support in there, the financial institutions look at that as guaranteed income. So they look at them as a safer risk than the actual non-custodial parent that's actually paying the child support. So,
yes,
like you said,
that's one of the things. Yeah, I mean to cut you off, but that's one of the things I had a problem with. I think we may have discussed it on the last show. Is no one should be able. I don't think that a custodial parent should be able to use child support income to get cars, to get a house, because you don't know, like you said, an economic hardship on that non-custodial. Now, if that non-custodial loses his job or her job, the first thing that custodial is going to do is to go and push the child support agencies to bring them back into court because their payment's due. And a lot of times, custodial parents are living beyond their means anyway. You don't need no $20,000 car, no $25,000 car. I mean, but none of that, there's so much penalties that comes with not paying, but there's almost absolutely no oversight into where the money is going.
Exactly. And if you can't afford your lifestyle without child support, you can't afford it with child support. And that's the thing that custodial parents have to understand, that if child support is actually supporting your lifestyle, supporting where you live at, the cars you drive, what you purchase and buy in your life, then child support is definitely is being misused and being abused. And it needs to have checks and balances with that. A lot of people are against knowing how child support is used, but it just makes financial sense when you really look at it, because if this non-custodial parent is mandated by the state government to pay this specific amount every month, year after year, then at least they should know how the money is being used, because a simple amount of child support of $450 a month, a lot of people don't think that's a lot of money. When you really look at it in context, it may not be a lot of money. But when you look at it in the context of over 18 years every month, you're looking at $100,000. Now,
true.
I believe it's the right of the non-custodial parent to be able to know where that $100,000 went over that 18 years. Because when the last time has a custodial parent given $100,000 to somebody else and said, hey, spend it how you like?
And even to go further with that, there's not many families that are a couple that have that amount to spend on the child together. Now, how do you expect this other person to pay that amount? And what about maintaining their lifestyles? Okay, before the relationship went bad, or even if it wasn't a relationship, they still need a roof over their head. They still need a car that would get them back and forth to work.
And what's funny about that is this, is that if the couple was actually married and they was in a household, a single household, the government wouldn't care whether those parents are taking care of those children at a certain level. They wouldn't mandate how much money that couple is spending on those children. It's only when those parents are separated that the government actually steps in and mandates that these children be taken care of at a certain level or mandate a certain amount of money. Because if they were married, nobody's coming in your household and say, hey, you didn't spend $300 this month on Susie. Nobody's even saying that.
Yeah, and that goes to the heart of the child support hustle. And the only reason why they're doing that is those Title IV-D funds. That's why they're going to come in so aggressively and mandate a certain amount. And the higher they set it, the more money they're going to make. Now, there was a study done by an economist at the University of California. I got to look more into it. But he really exposed the corruption of the system and how it's calculated. It doesn't make any sense how it's calculated. And I'm going to send you that. And we're going to come back on the next show, and we're going to talk about that, because it is very bad how they calculate this. You're not really totally paying for the child. You are actually paying to keep up the lifestyle of the custodial parent.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's cigarettes or a bottle of wine. You're doing that.
Hey, Ciroc, going to the club, getting new hair, you name it. It's all been spent on everything
versus,
but the child. Exactly.
And this is a true story. I know a guy who, the young lady, you know, she had a misstep when she was pregnant. You know, she had marijuana in the system, so they got her for that charge, that chemical endangerment charge. So he got custody, because at the time she wasn't working, and he had a job, and he ran out and got a lawyer, had a very good lawyer, because his family had connections. So he ended up getting custody, because not only did she have the marijuana in the system, but she had an assault charge. So they made a good case, got the child, and would you believe she fell behind? He took the money he got from when they confiscated her income tax, and he bought some rims. I'm like, wow. He bought rims, and his son is walking around, which there's nothing wrong with Walmart. I support Walmart. But his son was walking around in some shoes made in China, probably in a sweatshop, and probably going to fall to pieces. But he went out and bought rims instead of putting that money on the child. So I tell people it goes both ways, and we got to do better. We got to do better. Now, I want you to I got something I want to play for you, and then we come back on the other side of this break and talk about it. This is author Carol Rhodes. She used to work within the system. She wrote a book called Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. And this is 6 minutes long. When we come back, this is very interesting. She really reveals a lot that goes on. But I'm going to play this, and we're going to come back, and I want to get your comments on it.
All right.
Of the children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rhodes.
Thank you. My purpose today is not to dazzle you with my oratorical brilliance and skills. I merely want to say that I came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was not designed to be child-friendly. No friendship nor honest conciliation were ever allowed in the family justice system between caseworkers and clients. It was all about money. How to get the federal and state tax dollars that were allotted each case for enforcement. In fact, our director would say regularly, we aren't the friend of the family, we're the friend of the court. We stumbled over ourselves trying to get more Title IV-D cases on our records and to increase the child support orders because the federal government granted huge allotments for each case we enforced. In the years I worked in the system, I witnessed regular deception to clients that was mandated by office policy. I saw gender bias and discrimination. I saw records destroyed. I saw office policies and rules change from week to week for the profit of the agency. I saw hundreds of pleas for parenting time or enforcement get buried because there is no money in enforcing custody or visitation issues. Increasing the child support money that came into our offices was the goal for each of us. We were rated according to how much money we brought in through asset seizures, income garnishment, court hearings, warrant issue. We wrote the orders and then we enforced them. The judge merely rubber stamped our efforts. My director proudly told me that the Child Support Enforcement Agency was the darling of the circuit court and that we actually made money for the judge and the court. Unlike the sheriff's department and so many others, our county or state was not an exception to the rule. We were one of the most successful counties and we shared training with other counties and states so they could learn how to maximize their efforts toward increased collection. We were not only told to withhold information, forms, policies, laws, and statutes from our clients with questions, but we were forbidden to help them obtain legal relief from unfair situations beyond their control. We were instructed to quickly help those who were demanding increases in child support, but we were threatened with losing our jobs if we should breathe a word to encourage an injured or unemployed payer to petition for a reduction of any kind. For the years that I worked in the system, I put my job on the line whenever I helped any of the parties in trouble. We were not to get personally involved. The children or parents, we had nothing to do with that. I was derisively accused of wasting my time being a social worker. We worked closely with Child Protective Services and Family Independence Agencies, and they were the same way. No one wanted to improve services or hear about abuses within the system because every worker in these huge bureaucracies was trying to keep his or her job by covering up any errors or problems. I had six secretaries underneath me, unlimited power in my 401k and my office to lose if I should rock the boat. But rock the boat I did when I wrote the book Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. Families that were bleeding from the pain of divorce and separation were insulted, tricked, lied to, and deceived by persons without adequate training to be making those kind of judgment calls. Most of the custody determinations were made by unwed, childless individuals who were totally unqualified to hold the lives of so many in their hands. The determinations were made on the basis of the most child support that could be ordered for each case.
Yeah.
Fathers or non-custodial parents were stereotyped as payers only. The court and most caseworkers felt that fathers were unnecessary and possibly dangerous for the children to have contact with. The child support system is an adversarial system. It encourages parental alienation and court battles. Children are pawns in an expensive and elaborate game of winner versus loser. Attorneys coming into the picture further divide the already fractured family and insulate the parents from communicating with each other. Usually after attorneys and agencies become involved, new and creative charges of abuse, neglect, and addiction enter the picture. Many times these are convenient charges against innocent family members guilty of parents even after the partner left. I heard many unwed fathers tell me that they begged the mothers of their children to marry them, but that the mothers were unwilling to give up the welfare check in exchange for a husband and father in the home. The most outdated picture of the father leaving the mom and kids to run off with his secretary is all but a thing of the past. In Southwest Michigan, 98% of the divorces are initiated by mothers and unwanted by the father. These aren't abusive fathers either. Equal parenting is not a men's issue. I was a single mother for most of my children's lives, and I know what children need most is the love and balance two fit parents can give them. Money can never make up for the loss of a parent. Divorce or separation should not be the reason some kids will never get to know one important part of themselves. Equal parenting does not do away with child support. Child support takes on a whole new dimension for children with two loving parents instead of just one. I am humble as I stand in the shadows of one of our greatest founding fathers. Here in this place, another great father, Martin Luther King, announced to the world that he had a dream. Well, Mahatma Gandhi told us that we must be the change that we want to see in the world. Are you willing to be that kind of change? Yeah. Thomas Jefferson said that we only have the rights we're willing to fight for. Our Constitution gives all the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for some children, the right to have two loving and involved parents in their lives has been usurped by the courts. Courts rule according to precedent, and the precedent has been biased against one parent in the past, branding him or her the non-custodial parent, which in itself is an insult. Equal parenting by two fit and willing parents is what our courts and agencies must go back to believing in. Laws and fiscal policies must not facilitate conflict and adversarial relationships between parents. It's only a matter of time before the civil rights of families will be restored in the courtrooms of our nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Now, that was, like I said, that was Carol Rhodes, who wrote a book called Friend of the Court, but Enemy to the Family. Now, she really laid it out from a person that was an insider.
Yes, she did.
I just want to get your take on that, what she was saying is everything that the child support hustle is about and exposing and talking about, but it's good to hear from the people who were on the other side, like she said. Parents, non-custodial, are lied to, tricked, and ridiculed.
Exactly. And what she displayed there, that the child support hustle is definitely real. It's not something that's in the non-custodial parents' imagination. This is discrimination that's happening to parents every day that want to be in their kids' lives. But because of the state priority of making money, they're causing the division. That's why child support should be abolished. It's toxic to families because, like you said earlier, under Title IV, if the state is getting $3 to $5 for every child support dollar they collect, why would they try to go lenient on the non-custodial parent? It's not in their financial best interest. Their interest is to make money, and custodial parents need to stop participating in the system. And we need to be allowed as people, as human beings, to raise our children and make choices for our children, for ourselves. And, you know, this thing is a big racket. It's a money racket. That's all it is. And
it's like a mob shakedown. The government is playing the role of the mob, and it's shaking down non-custodial parents. But I like what she said, non-custodial parent is an insult in itself.
Exactly, because it's like non-custodial. It's like, am I lesser than?
Yes.
You know?
Like you had no part in the creation. And that's one of the things that I hope to in the future get with the child support hustle is, and I got this bill wrote out, and we're going to get together, we need to put it together, we need to put that with that. Another way, like you said, is to overturn or repeal the Bradley Amendment would be a good step, but also to get an amendment equal partners in conception. That would stop out a whole lot of stuff, too. We need to get back to being equal partners in the creation of life.
Exactly, and that's what the child support hustle is about. That's why, you know, one of our most popular T-shirts is Fuck Child Support. And that starts a conversation. We're not saying that about the children. We're saying that about the system itself, the system that's abusing both custodial and non-custodial parents and abusing the children too. So we definitely agree with that because we're at a point in our communities that we got to say enough is enough. And because you have non-custodial parents that are, you know, committing suicide, that are going underground because the state is trying to track them down like they're criminals. They've criminalized non-custodial parents in a big way in this country.
Yeah, and that's another reason why, you know, the young man that got killed. He got out and he ran from the police because he thought he was being stopped and he thought he was being arrested for child support.
Exactly.
We live in a country where people have been torn down so much that, you know, he was in that grinding wheel. He'd get a job, fall behind, make a few payments, fall behind, get arrested, lose that job, lose housing, and then have to come back to a job that paid less.
Exactly.
And they were just tearing him down. They had him in that grinding hamster wheel. And when he got stopped, he just wanted to get away because he didn't want to lose what he had, and his family said he walked around in fear of losing this job he just had gotten.
Now think about that. You got a parent who wants to be in their children's lives, and they're living in fear every day by the government because of mandated court-ordered child support. That sounds like somebody that's on the parole or probation every day. They're living in fear that they might be jailed. And it's indentured servitude in the worst way because I don't care what anyone says. If somebody garnishes 20 to 50% of the money that you bring home, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's like you're no longer a person no more. Like I was saying on the last show, once they deem you and label you as a non-custodial, your role isn't even apparent anymore. That's why they don't enforce the visitation. That's why they don't worry about the custodial parent committing parental alienation, because there's no money in that. The money is in making the established paying party pay the money. That's all their focus. They don't care about anything else. They want that money.
A slave to the state. They become a slave to the state. It's no different than being locked up and they're paying you a dollar and some a day and you're working for AT&T answering phone calls. And the same company that you're working for while you locked up inside won't hire you on the outside. Well, a person that's locked up has the same situation that the non-custodial person has because they're being discriminated by the state also. They're second-class citizens also, and they've been extorted by the state too. So their struggle and their fight is the same because they're both second-class citizens.
You're exactly right, and there's no telling what type of contract that the private prison industrial complex has with these AT&T companies and all these companies. They have some type of contract with them. You know, that guy, like you said, he may be making a dollar a day or a dollar an hour, but I guarantee you that state is probably making the other 14.
Exactly, because basically they're pimping you out. And that's exactly what non-custodial parents happen to non-custodial parents. They're being pimped out by the state for that Title IV funding by the federal government. And it's a sad situation because we have custodial parents believing in this system and being hoodwinked by the system, by its propaganda, that, oh, this is in the best interest of the child. If you don't spend XYZ amount of dollars on your child, then you're a deadbeat. And that's something that we need to tear down and really, really look behind the curtain and see what's really going on, because we're definitely being lied to by the state agencies.
That's definitely true. Now, I have another talking about child support as a form of slavery. And if you want to say something before I go into this, it's not. It's another small clip of another person talking about their experiences. So let's listen to this.
It's slavery.
Yes.
It is slavery.
Sure,
there's nothing else but slavery, financial slavery. And people need to realize this and pay attention and call it what it is. It is financial slavery.
It's like a form of abuse. It's like, you know, abuse. It's like when they used to tie up Toby and beat him.
Exactly. But I'd like to say this before you segue into that, is that only a child can determine whether a parent is a deadbeat or not. Nobody else can determine that, because we all know that, you know, you have parents that didn't suffer from chemical abuse, things of that nature, and those children don't see their parents as deadbeats. They just see their parents, they had something they couldn't overcome. So with this whole advertising campaign of the deadbeat dad, I think it's a big myth. Fathers have been in their children's lives for millennia without government say-so, and we need to go back to that.
That's exactly true. And like I said, you said it earlier, you have non-custodial committing suicide, and you have the young man who ran from the police because he was in fear of losing a job. He finally got a job that he thought that he could make it on, and here they were throwing the light on him, knew that they probably had the one out there. Now, we had a case here locally where a guy was seen, I guess his baby mother's cousin, seen him at his mom's house. His mom's birthday, so he had been slipping and sliding, staying out of their way, but he was seen at his mom's birthday party. So the cousin to the baby mama went and called the police. Police came first. When they first came, they went to the wrong house. And so when he saw him come through, you know, just like the young man that ran, he knew something was going to go bad because that's what you do when you see him. But he ran and ran into the house. The police come in, end up kicking in the door and firing their gun at him for no reason. So I'm going to go into this, and I'm going to we'll come back on the side of this.
So the children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rhodes.
Thank you. My purpose today is not to dazzle you with my oratorical brilliance and skills. I merely want to say that I came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was not designed to be child-friendly. No friendship nor honest conciliation were ever allowed in the family justice system between caseworkers and clients. It was all about money. How to get the federal and state tax dollars that were allotted each case for enforcement. In fact, our director would say regularly, we aren't the friend of the family, we're the friend of the court. We stumbled over ourselves trying to get more Title IV-D cases.
Every other ethnicity, they are trained right. You know, they're trained in the home. And we are not. We are trained to hate our own. We're the only people that kill each other like that. And we're the 75% of us are in single-parent homes. In order for us to even be on welfare, we have to hate our men. You can't get a temporary assistance for needy family welfare check. By the way, they only last for 36 months, y'all, so y'all need to get y'all stuff together. But you can't get that check without having to inform on the man that you had a child with, all right? You're going to have to put child support on him. We're trained to be like that, all right? Like, this was done on purpose, because if it wasn't done, if we don't hate you, then what other option do we have? The only other option we have is to align and fall in place with their paradigm, which doesn't include you. Because remember, y'all were castrated. I said that in the very beginning. So our only option is to align ourselves with their paradigm. Mm-hmm. So when I say that, think about these people that are doing the training. They own all of the school systems. They own everything that we put into our mouth. They own all of the media where we get all of our ideas and everything that we think that we're supposed to be. While they're out here studying and mimicking us, we're out there trying to be like them. So that's how we're trained. Have you seen anything on TV that should show me that I should love the black man? So when the black man says, "How you doing, sister?" Oh, he's trying to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Any nasty ass Negroes. Nah. We haven't been trained to see a brother that can actually respect us. We haven't been trained to see a brother that can actually respect us. We haven't been trained to see a brother that can actually respect us. That's something that we're going to have to do from the inside. We're going to have to do some soul searching, and we're going to have to realize what's real and what's not. And we're going to have to stop watching their television, stop watching their YouTube, stop spending so much time on Facebook, start spending time with the real brothers that are really doing the work. And I'm talking about in your own household. I'm talking about for the brothers that are still fathers. I'm talking about for the baby fathers that are still trying to do their thing. Stop putting child support on these men. That's slavery, all right? I don't have no respect, and I mean it. And a lot of sisters ain't going to like me for this. I have no respect if you put child support on a man, and I mean that.
But what about if the man is not taking care of his responsibilities, though?
He's
out there making babies with four or five different women and leaving them women to raise a child by herself. You don't think he need to be? Because if the white man is going to make you handle your responsibility, then so be it.
The white man is not making them.
Yes, it is. When you deal with child support,
the white man is not making the white man handle their responsibility. This white man is just handling their business. all right? Mm-hmm. The difference between us is we are a spiritual people. Now, you don't have to deal with that brother. You can go get another brother, or you could actually do some things to uplift yourself. I'm saying don't add to the enslavement of our brothers, because some brothers, even when they try, they actually castrate them. They take away their driver's license and things like that, where they can't even do any type of work. That's where I'm coming from. Again, I come from a different state of mind. I consider the United States Corporation to be an enemy of the people. Why would I have any respect for those same colonists, which they call states now, that actually put us in slaves? All right? So I don't have a respect for that system. So that's where I'm coming from. If you're in that system and that's all you know, and you really just want to stay enslaved, and you go ahead and you continue to get your TANF check, continue to swipe that SNAP card, continue to get your Medicaid because you don't know how to eat. You don't know how to feed yourself, obviously. Somebody's forcing you to eat that nasty crap, so you have to go get Medicaid instead of having preventive stuff. Then you go ahead and put child support on them, because they ain't nothing. You're not worth saving. And y'all didn't like when I said this before, when I said y'all people like these type of sisters, if you're going to keep having babies with these men and you're not going to have any standards for yourself, then maybe you should have yourself what they call tied up. That's where I was coming from. I'm not what they call like a Margaret Sanger or eugenicist. I'm just saying we have to take responsibility. Stop opening your legs. All right? I had two children out of wedlock, out of what they call wedlock. I understand my responsibility, but I am not going to go put child support on those brothers because I made a wrong type of decision. All right? So that's all I'm saying. Like, get out the system. You got to get out of her. Get out of the beast. But if you're willing to stay in, that means you're willing to put child support on the brother because you got to be in their system to do it. So you're either going to be a part of the system or you're going to be a part of the solution. If you're a part of the system, you're not a part of the solution. You're on that plantation. I advise you to get the hell off.
Did you see the movie Django?
Yeah.
What is your thought?
Like that. Five times.
What is your thoughts of Django?
I'm just saying.
And like she said, get off the plantation.
Exactly. Exactly. And child support, it affects a lot of social and economic backgrounds, but it do have a special overtone within the Black community. And it's something that we need to get hip to because like she was saying earlier, in 1965 is when the welfare state actually came about into existence. And during that time, in order to receive any type of government assistance, you couldn't have an able-bodied male in the household. So it made mothers and custodial parents choose between having an intact family or intact household or receive government assistance. And at that time, I believe the out-of-wedlock rate for the Black community was less than 20%. And now, since the welfare state has been introduced, we're looking at it over 75%. So there's definitely been a change. The welfare check basically replaced the father in the household. And that goes into another statement of mine, is that child support is a welfare recovery program. A lot of people don't realize that, and we said it on some of the other shows, that if you do the research, and the child support hustle book written by N.K. Clark goes in depth how child support is a welfare recovery program and is there to collect or recoup the monies that they actually give single mothers who are staying in Section 8 and receiving government assistance from the non-custodial parent. And that's why you cannot get rid of the debt, because the state want their money back, and they will do everything they can to get it from you. And that includes destroying your credit, locking you up in prison, putting liens on your property.
And keeping you so poor that you couldn't have a house or even a relationship outside of what they got you for, outside of their case from a previous relationship. So they're going to tie you down forever with that.
Exactly. It's the ball and chain effect. It's and what's so crazy about that is that definitely I want to give a shout out to the Second Wives Club, is that women who come into men's lives later on in their life, is seeing child support from the other view, from the non-custodial parent point of view, and they're realizing that this is injustice. This is a violation of civil rights because in their household, they realize, like, hey, we are not spending as much money on the two or three children that we have in our household than we're spending on the one that's outside of the household. And they're now starting to speak out and be advocates. And we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's, and they're great advocates, and it takes a great person to you know, to give that man a chance and to love that man, because, like I said, they're doing everything they can to destroy that person's ability to move on with their lives. You're going to be,
exactly,
like you said, the ball and chain. You're going to be the ball and chain to that previous debt in that previous case.
Now think about the resentment. Think about you being hunted by the state. Think about the resentment that's going to cause between you and the custodial parent, and maybe even you and that child. Because I'll be honest with you, if they kick in your door, like the ATF, to take you to jail for child support, to do time over child support, there's a problem.
Yeah, and they, like I said, they kicked that door in, and the cop discharged his firearm. He discharged his firearm. And the guy said that if he had not been laying down on the floor, he would have been shot. The bullet went through that apartment and landed in the next apartment next to a baby's crib. The baby wasn't in it, but it landed right next to it. So
and we should have zero,
you know, over-aggressiveness and on anything, you know. And it's just,
and we should have zero
just,
tolerance
we,
for that.
Yeah, yeah.
We should have zero tolerance for that type of treatment.
They had an inquiry and nothing happened. No, they didn't even say why the cop was in there. They just said the guy had a warrant. They wouldn't even say that it was child support. They just said he had a warrant and they put him in there. I'm going to play this song because I got to take me a quick break, and on the other side of this break, we'll pick up. Just 3 minutes.
They know.
my homegirl, Charlay Devereaux.
Nice.
So we back, and we talk about how this system is really a system of economic enslavement, and really it's also psychological enslavement. Because imagine the torture, like you said, getting up every day and then having to try to dodge, duck and weave your way to work because they done revoked your license, so you ain't got you don't have a way to pay for that.
Exactly. Now, and not only that, but you didn't give in the custodial parent or a baby mama incentive to actually snitch you out and drop a dime on you for cash reward.
Yeah.
And we should have zero tolerance for that type of behavior, because how as a community are you going to be a part of the reason why men are being locked up in your community? I don't understand that logic.
And possibly killed, because we know
exactly.
We know when the forces get there that they're all jacked up and just ready. They're the law enforcement, so you need to conform and you just need to do what they say. And any deviation from that, they're gonna put their hands on you.
Exactly, and that's the issue that we have in our community now. It's a lack of respect from law enforcement. It's the reason why they created Jim Crow laws, because they criminalize blackness. So you move forward to 2016, and now they're criminalizing non-custodial parents, and they're telling you that if you don't obey, because it's the law, and people don't realize that slavery used to be the law too. It doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that it's not violating civil rights. That you should obey, or else your freedom is at stake or your life is at stake.
Yeah, and then like
that's
said,
not in the best interest of the child.
No, it's not. And like I said, we need more of the mediation. I mean, I just wish more parents, custodial parents, if the relationship ends and whichever way the child goes, that parent does not then turn around and use that child, because basically that's what you're doing. You're using the court system
exactly.
to try to exact some type of punishment against the person.
Or leverage power.
I've seen this happen before too, and there's case after case after this, because a few people have told me that when the relationship was over with, everything was fine. The custodial would call when they needed something. They would get it. But the moment they entered another relationship, then the custodial parent, fearing, especially if the new relationship has kids in it, the custodial parent fearing that they're going to miss out on something, they run downtown for that.
Exactly, because they use the court and they use child support as a means of leverage and control and power over another individual, over another human being. So that parent is not rejecting their children. They may be rejecting that relationship that they have with you, but you got to let that go and think strategically that this has a bigger purpose to not only ruin your family, because your family going to be worse off, but it's also ruining a community at large. And we need to start thinking about all those implications that child support really have when you're running downtown because you're feeling sorry for yourself or you're on an emotional tirade, to actually put somebody on papers and be like, well, if you can't be with me, I'm not going to allow you to be with anybody else, so I'm going to tap your pockets. That's the wrong way to approach the whole situation.
Yeah, and like I said, the cases where they do it simply because the new relationship has kids in it, they're thinking that there's something now, all of a sudden, that their kids is going to miss because there's kids in that new relationship.
Exactly.
And
if you had children with somebody, you all are not a package deal. And that's how people are approaching it. They're approaching it that if you break up with me, you break up with your children too. And that's the wrong way to look at it.
And
now, for your next relationship, you can say
that. And the thing about that is they do it to hurt the non-custodial. But they're so filled with this revenge type thing that they don't understand, and they can't see that in the end they're doing more damage to their child than they could ever do to the non-custodial. Now, who would take a chance on damaging a child forever so you could run somebody into the ground for 18, 19 years?
Exactly. And that just takes the whole situation to a whole nother level.
Yes, it does.
Because think about this, Marcus. If somebody is trying to endanger your life, snatch and steal your well-being, how are you going to feel about that person?
Yeah, especially if you got a situation where we have sometimes that the custodial will actually brag about they're going to have the person locked up, or there's a warrant on him, he don't even know it, you know what I'm saying? He's walking around here.
Exactly.
I'm going to go put the band on him. You know, we have people we got to get out of that type of mentality where it's cool, where it's funny, or you think you're doing something heroic by causing this other person some financial pain.
Exactly. We got to have a zero tolerance approach, because right now it's socially acceptable to put someone on child support and let them go through all of that. And it has nothing to do with in the best interest of the child, and it has nothing to do with being a great parent or not. It has nothing to do with the custodial parent is handing over power to the state and handing over money to the state, because like we discussed in other shows, all the money don't even go to the children. If all the money don't go to the children, how is it about the children? It's not. It's about making money and giving the custodial parent a say-so over another human being's life that they don't have real estate on.
Uh-huh.
Period.
And all these other things, like I said, some of the experts, this expert in California, at the University of California, this economist who did this study and exposed how the calculations are wrong, and actually child support shouldn't be what it is now. It should actually start out low and then go up instead of like they get it now. They start out high. So
exactly, because some of those calculations are stuff like an automobile. Now, if anybody live on the East Coast, and shout out to everybody that's our audience and listeners from the East Coast, you know that it's not a right to have an automobile out there. People out there can ride public transportation for a lifetime. But that child support calculation is calculating in all those type of expenses like home ownership, an automobile, and a lot of expenses that any self-sufficient adult would have anyway as a custodial or non-custodial parent. And that's what actually makes the calculation of raising children so high, because with the numbers that they're actually coming up with, nobody in America would be able to afford children if children actually costed what they say they cost.
Yes, exactly. They got this, like I said, the main thing they're doing is trying to maintain that custodial parent's lifestyle. Now, we all know when you have kids, your lifestyle changes. You're not going getting your hair done every week.
Exactly.
When you have a child, at least you're not supposed to. And some of these things, I even heard, now this was a relative. Now, if they listen to this, they're going to get mad, but I'm not going to say their name, but wrong is wrong. I even had a relative. She went to our aunt and wanted to borrow some money because of this purse that was on sale. And so I didn't think nothing about it because, hey, relatives, you'll ask them, talk to them. They got a few dollars here and there. But
exactly.
What came out of her mouth next is what really tore me up. She said that she would pay her back when her child support came. I'm like, man, when she said that, I said, don't you see what I went through with the system and what some of your other cousins went through with the system? And this is exactly what we men and non-custodians have been talking about. There's no oversight on this money. And I was mad at my aunt for giving it to her. I said, don't enable her. Because what she did, there's no telling. And that's just with the aunt. We have no idea what she's been doing with other people, her friends, because she lives in another county. Who knows what she's borrowing, what she's doing, on the promise of taking care of it when the child support check comes. Now, for a person,
exactly.
If your lights was about to go out, and the child was about to be in the dark, then I can understand,
exactly.
Hey, I need this person to be lights on, and I can pay you back when my check comes in. But to go buy a purse because it was on sale, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And to see stuff like that in my own family, knowing that, you know, I do a lot of work in the conscious community, that just made me sick, you know.
That's
and
the child support
no
hustle.
She has no shame because she has become used to that. And she stays in public housing, so she goes through boyfriends, you know. And she's playing it,
gotcha.
You know. She's playing it, you know. She tells them that they got to be out of there by 12 o'clock. To this and that, so
exactly.
For a while, he don't care nothing about that, and he goes on after a while, and she's making sure that she don't violate them instead of trying to build a stable home
life
with somebody, you know.
Exactly.
And so that's what got me. She's wanting to make sure she don't cross them to maintain the food stamps, the free housing, you know.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we want to tell our listeners that we have nothing against government assistance or state assistance, but it shouldn't be your career choice. It's there to help you to get through hard times. You know, everybody fall down on their luck every here and there every once in a while. But to choose it as a career choice because you don't want to be self-sufficient, that's when we have a problem with it. And because, you know, we all know somebody that went through some hard economic times and they needed that assistance. They actually deserved it because they were working citizens once before. That's why it's there for those rainy days. But when you make a career out of government assistance in child support, I definitely have zero tolerance for that.
No, there's no respect in that. You've got to do what you got to do to get yourself on your feet. But like you said, making a career out of it, and this is my household. I mean, why would you turn down? I mean, and she did this, but why would you turn down a single guy, no kids? He loves you and accepts your kids. Take your kids. He'll come pick you. Come having him come pick you up from a project in his new car. He's got a great job. He's encouraging you to get back into school where you're behind and dropped out. Going to pay for your GED. Willing to help you build on something.
Exactly.
Why would you choose the government handout rather than that concrete relationship?
Exactly. And you know, when the system started in 1965. It made women of her nature choose a man or government money. And statistics show that they've been choosing government money for the last 30, 40 years. So, you know, it's one of those things that our community really have to look into and stop turning a blind eye to it because, you know, that's one of the reasons why child support is here and as an institution. And a lot of custodial parents will try to tell you or argue with you that I got bills to pay. Well, every self-sufficient adult has bills to pay. It has nothing to do with taking care of children because whether I'm single or not, my light bill will exist. Rent will exist. If you own a vehicle, you don't have deep pockets where you could pay for it for cash, a car note will exist. Gas will exist. Insurance will exist, whether you're single or not, right? But we try to roll up all the custodial parents' expenses into the child support and not allow children expenses to remain children expenses. And I feel that if they're going to increase child support to include the custodial parents' expenses, then that parent should be able to write them off as a tax credit, as a dependent.
Yes, and they should have something where either both parents can claim or they have rotating years.
Exactly, and there's actually a form out there now that it's tax season out there on IRS.gov. It's a form called 8332 that actually it gives the custodial parent power to actually alternate tax years on claiming the children every other year. But the problem in that is strictly up to the custodial parent to grant that.
Yeah.
I think it's fair in a shared custody case.
Yeah,
because you have a lot of custodial parents out here that have children collecting child support and claiming the children as dependents. That's getting back $5,000 and $10,000 because the government is garnishing a non-custodial parent's tax refund too. And I don't see how that's right in any way.
It's like I said, it's all, like we've been talking about, it's all designed to keep that non-custodial parent in the hole. You got to keep them in the
hole.
In a hole that in the end, they're going to owe the government, you know. And think about it now. If the government is getting five times more than what that custodial parent get, when you get behind and hitting with the interest and all that, it's not going to take long before your other parent owes more to the government than they do your own child itself. And
exactly, because the government is making it rain.
A lot of custodial parents need to be aware. Yes, I think a lot of custodial parents need to be aware whether you're getting yourself, your child. Well, first of all, what you're getting the child, yourself, and the non-custodial into. And in the end, like I said, it's going to hurt the child. What happens if you dog this non-custodial parent out, have their credit all ruined, and you go through life and something bad happens to you? You get disabled or die in an accident or something, or your credit goes crazy, and the child turns 18 and needs a car. And then,
exactly.
if you're living, you're gonna be looking up into that custodian for, hey, your child needs this car, and then all this. Well, they're not gonna be able to go there and sign on nothing because you have damaged them throughout the years. They don't
exactly.
think about the long term. They want the short term feeling of doing something. I'm telling you, a lot of custodians, they feel that they're narcissists. Some of them are, not all, but they're narcissists. They get this sadistic feeling that I have the power to just go sign this piece of paper and you're going to be miserable. And that's too tempting
exactly.
for some people. That's not strong-minded. If they're not strong-minded, don't have their heads together, they're not calculating what it's going to cost the child in the end and how it's going to damage them, then they are going to go down there quick.
Exactly. And I advise all non-custodial parents to pull their credit report because it's probably a reason why you're getting turned down for those loans, and it's probably due to child support. Because if you owe too much child support or you're in arrears, your credit score is definitely being devastated. And you're right. There are a lot of narcissist custodial parents out there they're doing it for a power trip. And control over the other parent and don't realize how it's impacting not only the non-custodial parent but also the child. Because a child needs both parents in their lives to grow up, you know, well balanced, because we see what the absence of fathers and both parents in the community, we see the long term effects of it. Not saying that, you know, any single parent is not doing a great job, but we see the long term effects of when both parents are not in a child's life in our community.
And we got to respect the data also. When they're growing up in these single parent homes, and some people can raise a good child, you know, like the president. He didn't have a father there toward the end.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of examples of single parents doing a great job. But you got to look at the data when it comes to your chances of ending up in the criminal justice system. So it's
exactly
always good to have
number
positive,
one factor.
Yes, you've got to have a positive role model inside that home. If you can't be, and like some non-custodials are impossible to get along with. You can't have that sister or that brother in that house. You know,
exactly.
It'd be far worse if they was together. But to go back to what I was saying, but to choose government assistance over building a permanent relationship is madness. It's madness.
Exactly.
You're not getting some free ride. What you're doing is you're creating a complex in your own mind that you're going to entrap those kids in.
Exactly. And it's antagonistic. It's unhealthy for the relationship between the parents and the relationship with the children. Right now you got 7 and 8 year olds telling their non-custodial parents, biological parents, where is my child support money? That's not a child's place.
Yes. And some of them have convinced that, and when you really got, and there are some narcissists that really do damage, when they have convinced the child that child support payment is love. Okay, if you don't, this payment is not made, then you don't love me, you know. So they've convinced them that the money is connected to love. And so
exactly.
They have put the child in the same place where their mind is, where their life revolves around money. Going
love
back to what
and
I said
worth.
Going back to what I said about living beyond your means. I mean, I've seen custodial parents driving around cars that doctors and lawyers be driving. And if they don't get that money, you know, they're constantly adding that money up. They're going on trips. Their hair stays done. And
casinos.
And the kids, the kids don't look nothing like the parent. I mean,
exactly.
You're going to be out here splurging, looking like $1 million, then your child should not be wearing the cheapest thing out there, but you got $200 braids in your hair, or you riding around on some rims that you get from your baby's mother's confiscation of taxes.
Exactly. And reality TV shows then show that in its rare form, because, you know, you got people on reality TV shows that they got, you know, pregnant by an athlete or somebody famous or a celebrity who are living a lifestyle that's not their own. It's all based off child support money. And that type of injustice need to cease. And that's why the child support hustle is here.
Yeah, and it's nothing's going to happen until we get educated and
awareness.
We get awareness and we keep having shows like this and we keep building upon this. And I know what I'm going to do in my state, because I deal a lot in politics. And this is why this show, I'm glad to have you guys on this show, is because I'm getting ready to make a move toward these politicians. Somebody has got to answer for this madness. Somebody needs to tell
exactly.
me why this whole system is not madness and why it's not a designed plan to destroy people. And that's where I'm coming. I'm going to come at them from that direction. This is a plan to destroy people. And
exactly.
And
we want to definitely tell our listeners to sign the petition on the childsupporthustle.com. I believe we nearly have 1,500 signatures now. And definitely join us on the Child Support Hustle on Facebook and join the conversation and like our page, because we have an audience of 30,000 now that they feel the same injustice. They want answers to.
Yeah, and if it's not, and everybody has someone in their family that this is affecting. Nobody is immune from this. You either have somebody in your family that's being persecuted by this unfair system, or either you may have a narcissist in your family that's persecuting someone else in this system, or you may have a child that's a victim of two parents unable to work things out because they didn't try to in the beginning, and now the state has came in and made that divide even wider. So
exactly.
Everyone is affected by this.
And this is about equality. You know, this is about equality at its core. You know, like, how can you ask for equality while child support system remains intact? You can't. We live in a gender-neutral society now, and everybody needs to be accountable for their own financial well-being, and we just focus on taking care of the children in a 50-50 parenting relationship.
Period. So true. That is so true. And we shouldn't allow ourselves, as you said earlier, to be pimped by the government to make money off of us, to sow division between us, and to destroy a child's mind in the process.
Exactly, because a court shouldn't have more power over your family than you do. And that's exactly the power that you're giving them by making not only the child but the non-custodial parent both state property. And that's a sad state of affairs.
I'm going to play this song, and then I'm going to come back and let you close it out for us, and make sure, before we go to this break, could you tell us about where people can get the book?
Alrighty.
Okay, we'll be right back after this short break.
We ain't playing that bullshit no more around here. Peaches, what's happening? I guess I expect this, right? Put a pussy ass nigga in a pussy ass bitch. Let's do it on.
We breaking jail. Man, it's that old fuck nigga staying down. What you was saying on your Facebook staying down. When you was on your Twitter, now you say you playing around. This nigga more than an Instagram friend.
We breaking jail.
Man, it's that old fuck nigga staying down. What you was saying on your Facebook staying down. When you was on your Twitter, now you say you playing around. This nigga more than an Instagram friend.
The game that got more
cum,
more stress than an OB net. My cockiness, my reflex has zeros now. I see shit. I feel a one of the best. Don't front the hood where they so packed. Roger that, roger that. Get it, dispatch. These fuck boys ain't running shit, but dick suckers better get us. Or get left, lit it sideways. My bullets make y'all hip hop. One quick stuff for you sideways. What you want for? I got five ways. I lined up with 5K. These streets with a hit driveway. Peaches said, don't kill him, bro. I said, fuck that. I want to be in there. He can write me from up in heaven if the nigga really need a pen pad. But I'm pinned down and I'm pinned around. Most dope boys at a pharmacy. Plus more green than broccoli. And more yellow steam than a pot of peas. Take that bad like apology. Damn little dude, I'm a problem, please. Best thing away, don't bother me. I become history like Socrates. OG back, if possibly. Be on like a B, I got to be. Signing off 100, bruh. Try your best to go to South.
We breaking
down. Being
in bed on fuck, nigga, staying down. What you was saying.
Okay, we back. in this episode, we've been talking with guest Drew D. We're talking about the child support hustle and its connection with credit, and that will impact you for the rest of your life. So I want to ask you, this is what I meant to ask you. Do you guys have a GoFundMe account where somebody can help? And how can someone
yes.
help you?
Yes, absolutely. On the childsupporthustle.com, you can donate to the cause. Everything that's donated, we give it back to the movement itself. You see us out in the street passing out flyers. We're starting to do radio commercials and radio blogs as this, and we're doing T-shirts, the Fuck Child Support T-shirt or the hashtag. The Child Support Hustle Now movement is going, it's growing, and we got 30,000 audience of 30,000 on Facebook right now, and we have some conversations on there that are really intriguing and really telling the true story behind child support. The founder, N.K. Clark, she actually wrote a book called The Child Support Hustle that started this entire movement. And it's an in-depth book, and it details how she overcame the child support system when she tried to get the father of her children off child support system itself. And it details her fight against the state. So we just need the support. If we want the child support system abolished, if we want to bring this thing down, if we want to reform it, we all got to come together from all communities, all backgrounds, and really tell the government how we feel about this. Custodial parents and non-custodial parents alike, the fight is the same.
And like I said, we got to let people know, yes, all lives matter, but the black lives
exactly.
are the ones destroyed. But besides the black lives and the all lives, non-custodial parents' lives matter, especially to their children. And we have got to put the kids first.
We got to. And we got to stop believing the lies that the state is telling us.
Yeah, because really the line they are feeding are lines of division and lines of
exactly.
attack from one place to another. It doesn't benefit them. It does not benefit the state to have a happy, cohesive family. They only benefit if we are at each other's throats. That's the only way. Once we come together and try mediation and working this thing out before it gets to, you see the struggle, Clark had and what
exactly.
he had to go through to get out of the system. Let's try not to get to that point. Let's try to work this out before we get there, because the system does not have our best interest in mind. Just like the speaker we had earlier who wrote the book, Carol Rose, Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. This is what they talk with each other behind closed doors, that they are not friends of the family. They're the enemies of the family, and they're only friends of the court. They make money for the system. That's their job.
Reform Child Support Now, and we want to give a special shout out to Scarface, who signed the petition, and he's in support of the movement.
Oh yeah, I shouted him out. We follow him on Twitter and Facebook. Looking forward to them, waiting on the answer. I may have him on the show soon. I got a big artist coming up Monday. I got a show going on tomorrow. So we really turning things up on all the issues. And shout out to my dad, a great man. He passed last night. He had a long struggle with liver cancer, and he really outdid the doctors so many times. But in the end, you have to return to the source. And
absolutely.
He always encouraged me. I remember when I started this network, he was so glad that I started it, wanted to know all about it, and was amazed at some of the guests I've had on my show. So that's why I had to come out today and keep it going, because he was the type of person was to take care of yours and keep on doing what you got to do. And so with that, we will be back, and hopefully we'll be back next week. And, Drew, I'm going to be talking to you. I'm going to shoot you some things that we can really talk about. I want to talk about next week. I really want to talk about how it's illegal to even be in child support court. It's against the Constitution to even for there to be in a child support court. It's nothing but a contract between the federal government and local municipalities. But you're not even supposed to be before no judge. That's why these judges run in and out of the courtroom, and they title themselves as not a judge, as a referee, but we're still at the court.
Exactly.
So they're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. Child support falls up under the federal government, not the state government. So we're going to see next week what we got going on. I appreciate it, man. I look forward to talking to you soon. Appreciate the show.
Thanks for having us.
All right, man. Take it easy.